Chapter 4. Mi Bajuri Verde, Anakin / Padme. The record would show, were there a record of such things, that Mazik Organa started it. He and Winter Selshoe, the daughter of one of Bail's aides, were Leia's dearest friends in the world, and in the way that children are, she was often exposed to new concepts by them. Sometimes it was new words or questions about how things worked. Mazik, who was observant and picked up on things from his older sibling, was a particular source of trouble. This one, though, wasn't Destiny's fault. In truth, it wasn't even Mazik's fault. He'd only been honest. Leia was the one who ran with the thing to its conclusion. "Dad?" Anakin slid out from underneath the speeder to look up at his nearly 7-year-old daughter. "Yes, Leica." Over the years, Mandalorian nicknames had won out as terms of endearment for both the twins. Anakin sometimes liked to throw in his own odd ones, for a sense of variety, but he and everyone else used those the most. "Did you know that Mazik got to go to his mom and dad and Weir's wedding?" "We were there too. That was when you met Mazik and Destiny for the first time." She nodded in that thoughtful way that always looked so incredibly precious on small children. "I remember that." The thing was, with Leia's abilities, she probably did. Once, a couple of years ago, she'd asked why Anakin had felt sad in some of her earliest memories. That had hurt like a carking gunshot, but none of them could reasonably have anticipated that Leia's peculiar abilities in the Force would manifest in her having both an excellent sense of emotions and an excellent memory. She didn't know specifics, necessarily, but she often had a sense of people's feelings and their presence in the Force. "It was a beautiful wedding," Anakin told her, wiping oil off his hands with a loose rag. "In Alderaanian culture, they value art very highly, and so spouses are supposed to show that they can bring beauty into each other's lives. So there are lots of art and poetry, and the most beautiful dresses. Mazik and Des were what were called ring bearers. In an Alderaanian ceremony, they have a person, usually a child in the family, whose job it is to carry the wedding rings to the spouses." It had been much too slow for Anakin, who'd gotten antsy by the end. Rex and Satine's wedding, with its fast-paced dancing and loud music and threat of potential violence, had been much more his speed. But he knew that Leia would have been absolutely enthralled by the Organa wedding if she'd been old enough to understand. "Did we go to your and Mom's wedding?" "You weren't born yet when we got married, Muffin." He reached up and ruffled her hair with his newly clean hand, dark and shoulder length. Sometimes she liked to wear it braided, in which case Anakin wouldn't have dared to mess with it, but today it was loose. "Did you have a big party too? Who got to go?" "No, we had a private wedding, just me and your mom and R2 and 3PO. She scrunched up her nose. "That's boring. When I get married, my wedding is not going to be that boring." "Will I be invited?" "Duh." Padme looked through every compartment in her desk and then made her way downstairs to Anakin's workroom. She passed Luke and Leia on her way, playing some kind of story game. All of their various dolls and model ships were laid out around them in the middle of the room. "And then the starship crashed," Luke declared with excitement, "and exploded." Padme left them to it as Leia scrambled to figure out how all of her toys were going to respond to this incident. She pressed the chime at the door to Anakin's workroom. The rule was that if the light outside was red, which it was, you had to press the chime before coming in, because it might not be safe. There had been some concern about what Luke and Leia were liable to get themselves into. "One second," Anakin called, and there was a loud clang and an electric whir before the light flicked to green and Padme let herself in. "Here," he said, holding out her datapad. "You still working on the carking Kaminoans?" He must have peaked. "Alan C. is pushing to have an education policy included in our negotiations with the new government. She thinks there needs to be public awareness on Kamino about what they did in the cloning program." C. had no concrete role, in exile from her homeworld as a member of the overthrown post-war government, first in succession of several, but Padme liked her and was inclined to listen to her most of the time. Bail and Senator Pons had both been known to bring her as a speaker to Senate meetings on Kaminoan issues. "Makes sense," Anakin said. "Do you think you can make it happen?" "Hard to make people believe they've done something wrong, but I can certainly try. And I've never known you to fail at anything in the end." It was patently untrue, but she gave him a kiss for that anyways, and was halfway to the door when he called after her, "Angel? Annie? Do you regret the fact that we didn't have a bigger wedding?" Padme had never been the kind to daydream about her wedding as a girl. She'd had some ideas about wanting the most extraordinary bouquets, but mostly she'd been too wrapped up with politics, even from an early age. And so, at the time, she'd had a handful of regrets about her elopement, mostly that her family and handmaidens hadn't been there, and, of course, the bouquet. Childhood dreams died hard. Still, she'd been so happy to marry Anakin, who had been her soulmate for so many years, that it didn't really matter. And then, she and Anakin had reached the life stage where all their friends were getting married, and they'd attended wedding after wedding, fitting all sorts of descriptions, but each of them wonderful in their own way. And she'd felt a hint, a tiny curl, of jealousy. It was a stupid emotion, she knew. The wedding wasn't the important part, the marriage was, and she was wonderfully happy in her marriage. But the thought lingered. "I do sometimes," she admitted, "but it got us here, and that's what counts." He smiled at her, sunny as his homeworld. "Doesn't have to be the only thing that counts." "Why, Mr. Skywalker, are you planning something?" "Why, Senator Amidala, are you implying a willingness to go along with my plans?" Sometimes it struck her how wonderful this lightness in him was, that it was stronger now than ever, in spite of all that they'd been through together. "Always, Mr. Skywalker." "A little mouse droid told me that it's your 10th anniversary this year, Senator." "That's an unsubstantiated rumor." "And far be it from me to accuse the esteemed senator of being a lawfully wedded woman." Padme broke first, failing to cover a laugh with her hand, and Anakin chuckled too. "You might be onto something with the anniversary thing." "You know me, I'm always onto something." "Up to something, you mean?" He smirked. "That too." Like Anakin, Padme had both a conventional family and an unconventional family, and was closer with the latter than the former. "Anakin," Sabe greeted him with a kiss on either cheek, "what are you doing here?" He'd come to her office, which he'd known was the only way that he'd managed to get her attention without Padme knowing about it. Sabe had left her job at the Senate 3 years earlier to become a representative in Coruscant's local government, finally ending her two-decade working relationship with Padme in a way that both of them were proud of. Getting into trouble. She laughed at him, offering him a wide smile. She didn't look as much like Padme these days as when they were teenagers. Their faces had filled out to different shapes, the way everyone's face changes between the ages of 15 and 30. "But really," Padme said, taking a seat on her couch. "What's up? Padme's birthday isn't coming up unless I've made some kind of horrible mistake." "You haven't," Anakin agreed, "but you're not wrong that I'm here to get your advice on a gift for her." "Of course I'm not. Padme is 95% of what we have in common." "What's the other 5%? "Devastating good looks." He snorted with laughter. "You're not as funny as you think you are. And yet, still funnier than you." He really did like Sabe. They'd been through so much together over the years that it would have been almost impossible not to. "Anyways, what's the occasion?" He explained about the anniversary and the idea of having a second wedding, or a vow renewal, or whatever. "So I guess I need advice on Nabooian wedding customs, particularly the ones that Padme would like." "And you thought that I, a person who has never been or wanted to be married, was the ideal expert on weddings?" "Well, no, but you are my go-to on Padme. I trust you to tell me what she'll like, not what you like." "Fair," Sabe agreed, and, reaching into her desk, tossed a notepad and a pen in his general direction. "You'll need these. Traditional Nabooian engagements and weddings are convoluted as shit, and Padme hates about 80% of the oldest traditions on principle, or would hate them if somebody tried to do them to her. Like what? Like male soulmates bringing proof of the bond to their bride's parents so they can show that they're entitled to her. Anakin hadn't realized that wedding traditions could be a recipe for instant divorce. Yikes. Do you know anything about Tatooine wedding customs? The blurry hollow of Ahsoka kicked her feet up onto the table in front of her.
There was a wedding here while I was around once, but I just babysat Jolie while Owen and Beru went. Why?
Anakin and I are thinking of having a proper ceremony for our vow renewal, and I know he's been trying to figure out the kinds of things from Naboo that I care about by asking my friends, but Rex and I were both stumped.
And you don't think Jedi traditions are the way to go?
Ayla and Bly's wedding had been lovely, although both it and Obi-Wan and Cody's had been overshadowed by the politicization of clone weddings. Padme had never actually attended a Jedi wedding without that fundamental flaw. Anakin, she knew, wouldn't want that sort of publicity. Does he think of himself as a Jedi, really?
Does he think of himself as Tatooinean, really?
Padme tipped her glass of water to acknowledge the point. I just don't want the wedding to be all me, you know? For all Anakin likes to call himself a trophy husband, it's more than that. He was a terrible trophy husband, too, probably the only person who picked more fights at Senate functions than Padme herself. The universe had given her a soulmate who made her happy, who was a wonderful father to their children, and a good man. But not a soulmate who was good at simply being quiet and looking pretty. Ahsoka grinned.
I know, but for it to be Anakin doesn't mean it has to be tradition. Ahsoka, not being traditional is probably the most Anakin option of all.
True, but I think he also likes the legitimacy and authority of tradition. He liked Rex and Satine's wedding, and Bail, Fox, and Brea's, come to that. He didn't like Obi-Wan and Cody's public affair, of course, but neither did they, so that's not surprising.
What bits of the tradition did he actually like?
Different answers whirled around her head. He liked the inclusion of the children in Bail and Brea's wedding, even if he hadn't liked a lot of the art and how slow it was. Conversely, he loved the whirlwind music and dancing of Satine and Rex's wedding, even though he couldn't have matched their movements to save his life. He liked the solemnity of Mandalorian wedding vows and the fun of the Jedi, or Coruscanti in point of fact, wedding parties.
You look like you've either had an idea or a stroke.
Several, in fact.
I'm going to assume you meant ideas, not strokes.
Did you mean to leave top secret wedding plans on my bedside table, or did you just lose it? Take a look. Criff, Angel, this is brilliant. I do have my moments. Did I give you enough room to work in? Absolutely. Leia finished carefully buckling her shoes and bounced her feet off the bench. Luke, beside her, was still trying to get it right. Excited to spend the day with Auntie Sabe? Leia nodded. She's going to take us to the circus, and we'll see the acrobats, and it's going to be awesome. I'm sure, Anakin agreed. He opened the door and ushered Luke and Leia out of their apartment. Are you excited too, Luke? Maisick says they sometimes have faviers at the circus, and they train them to stand still so they can do their tricks on their backs. He read about it in a book. I don't think this is the kind of circus with animals. Luke deflated. I'd like to see a favier. Me too, Anakin agreed, but it's better for them to be in the wild, where they can run as far as they want. Maybe we'll get to see them someday. For now, you'll get to see all the amazing tricks the acrobats learn how to do, and before that, Auntie Sabe and I have a special job we need your help with. What? Leia asked, with an adorable suspicion. They all got into the turbo lift to take them down to the garage. I'm going to ask your mother if she would like to marry me again, so you can be there this time. Would you like to help me pick out flowers for her when I do? There was a lot of yelling and jumping about in the turbolift after that, until Anakin picked both of the kids up with a little help from the Force. He gave a little wink to the security camera in the corner of the lift. He'd go get the footage later so Padme could see their reactions. They left Mazik, Luke, Leia, and Destiny in the other room, building a structurally unsound pillow castle. In the kitchen, Padme and Brea took their seats at the table while Bail and Fox got started on dinner. "So," Padme said, trying to keep her voice down, "Anakin and I are thinking about having a public marriage ceremony, or vow renewal, or something, to make up for all the secrecy 10 years ago." Bail set the cutting board on the counter before turning dramatically to look at her. "Are you fucking kidding me?" This was not the reaction she'd expected. "What?" Brea had doubled over, laughing too hard to reply. She shook her head. Bail put his hands over his face and groaned. Fox mercifully explained. "Master Voss's betting pool. He was supposed to close up shop after Satine and Rex got hitched, but he had one last table first. Who's the next couple to get married? To date, no one on the list actually has gotten married. Based on these two idiots, I'm guessing someone actually thought to put you and Anakin down." Brea nodded, pressing her hand to the center of her chest as if she was winded. Bail ran his hands down his face and said, "Obi-Wan didn't want to participate. So Quinlan said, he said that since Obi-Wan had lost that bet about whose Padawan would get married first, years ago, he'd just waive the buy-in for Obi-Wan and put his name down for you and Anakin. Obi-Wan didn't even agree, but his name is on the list. He's going to win the fucking pool, and he didn't even pay in. Goddess witnessed it." This was going to be the best news of Anakin's entire life. "Force help me. Obi-Wan is going to have a stroke. Or get murdered. Ayla put a lot of money on it being Quinlan himself. She's not going to believe she lost to Obi-Wan when he wasn't even playing." "Have you told him about the engagement yet?" Bail asked. When Padme shook her head, he said, "Please, please get it on camera when you do." Fox, who was the sensible one of the three of them, had to be with so many younger siblings as he had, said, "So what were you planning to say before Bail and Brea completely lost their minds?" "We were hoping for some advice on incorporating Luke and Leia into the ceremony. Although frankly, after this display, I'm not sure I want advice from the three of you." "You can take the advice from me," Fox said. Brea rolled her eyes. Bail, for his part, just gave a full-bellied laugh. Even though they'd been friends for years, Anakin had never really stopped finding Satine both intimidating and intriguing. In some respects, she was very much like Padme. Brilliant, beautiful, powerful. They both had a strong sense of morality, a loyalty to their people and to their values, that Anakin could never have replicated but had to admire. And then, of course, there were the other things about Satine that fascinated him. Her relationship with Obi-Wan, and, for that matter, her relationship with Bo-Katan, which had an ability to be both harsh and loving, in which Anakin saw much of his own feelings for Obi-Wan. They had radically different values in some respects, divergent perceptions of what the Order should be, but Anakin would have died for him. And then there were the ways in which Satine was the most resilient person he'd ever met, someone who had lost every single thing it was possible for a person to lose, and had never wavered. Anakin could only admire that strength. Since Rex was one of the other strongest people Anakin knew, he was happy for them. They both deserved the world.
"Bo-Katan would say I don't have the authority to give you permission for this. But,"
Rex interrupted from outside the Hollow's visual range,
"Bo-Katan isn't the Mandalore."
"No,"
Satine agreed.
"She isn't. But it isn't the Mandalore's job to decide this. As Satine, though, I'll give you my blessing. I think the marriage vows suit you, and I think you're Mando enough to use them. Buy your kinship rights to the 501st and to Ahsoka, if nothing else. You were also a Mandalorian citizen for either 15 minutes or 12 years, depending on how you count it."
By Qui-Gon's death intestate, of course. Technically, I never claimed that citizenship except when I gave it to you.
No, but it hardly matters. You are family, and if Bo gives you trouble at the wedding, you can just sic Ahsoka on her. Bo won't deny her anything.
Anakin fought back a smile. Rex slipped into frame, sitting beside Satine and pressing a mug into her hand, another clasped in his own.
Satine is right. You're family, and you should say the words like family. Like we did. Like your Vod did. Like Ahsoka will.
Satine must have read something in his face because she said,
You have told Obi-Wan, haven't you?
Anakin hoped they couldn't see him flush in the hollow. I'm working up to it. She arched an eyebrow.
You do know that he already knows you're married, right? And has since before you told him about it.
I know that. I'm just... He'd let Obi-Wan down the last time. He didn't want to do that again.
The only way you can criff this up,
Rex advised,
is by saying nothing.
He was right, of course. Don't worry, I know that too. Come in. Of all the Jedi in the Order, Padme hadn't particularly expected the one who let herself into Padme's office to be Master Aayla Secura. She was about 5 months pregnant and had switched out her usual Twi'lek costume for a more traditional set of Jedi robes, which gave nothing away. According to Obi-Wan, there had been a fuss over Aayla's decision to have children, both on the Jedi and Vade side of things, but Anakin had left the Order without much choice on that count, and Cody had apparently knocked a few heads together as a favor to Ply, which had settled matters. Padme assumed that if Aayla had any questions for her, it would be about that. But instead, Aayla said, A little birdie told me that you're on the market for wedding traditions. They were all gossips, these Jedi. It was a legitimate problem. Not least because... Ancestors help me. Do you think Obi-Wan knows? She shrugged. I don't know. Bly had it from Fox's Destiny, who had it from one of your little ones. Okay, maybe Padme could cut the Jedi Gossip Network some slack just this once. And the good news was, since Obi-Wan and Cody were on Ye Maria, they weren't likely to hear anything from the Organa children anytime soon. So what's brought you here then? Just a want for gossip? There was a sly smile on Aayla's lips. Not quite. You see, Anakin is probably the closest thing I have to a younger cousin, and I have a tradition I'd like included in the wedding. Padme, upon hearing which one it was, laughed and immediately agreed. Is Padme pregnant? Anakin turned to stare at Obi-Wan, tripped over a root, and fell into the swamp, murky water closing over his head for only a second before Obi-Wan was hauling him to his feet. Shall I take that as a yes? Anakin shook his head vigorously and tried to wipe the swamp water out of his face before it could end up in his eyes or mouth. Is Ahsoka pregnant? It was a good thing they were standing still or Anakin would probably have fallen over again. Why would Ahsoka be pregnant? I don't know, but you've been building up to telling me something since you got here, and I can't think of anything else. It's definitely not that. Not either of those things, hopefully. Luke and Leia were enough of a handful on their own, and Anakin refused to think about the fact that Ahsoka was now older than he was when he became a father. Do I get to know what it is then? Obi-Wan asked. This was Anakin's penance for taking so long to tell him. Me and Padme are going to have a proper wedding ceremony for our 10th anniversary. That's all. I'd like you to be my best man. Relief warred with confusion on Obi-Wan's face. Then what in the name of the Force are you so nervous about? Anakin could feel himself flushing. Hopefully the muck would obscure some of his embarrassment. I just wasn't sure how to tell you. I let you down last time. No, you didn't. What are you talking about? I was a mess and I lied to your face for 3 years and everybody knew. Yes, Obi-Wan agreed, but you didn't let me down. Your relationship was always your own business, Anakin. You didn't owe me anything. I'm just glad you're telling me this time. And does that mean you'll be my best man? Maybe you should ask me first. Karking Obi-Wan. Will you be my best man? I'll think about it. Anakin flicked swamp water at him. Obi-Wan laughed, and then a look of horror arose on his face. Quinlan Karkingvas. They hadn't had a proper proposal story the first time around. Instead, they'd had Anakin on the verge of a panic attack, begging Padme to marry him in case he died before they got another chance, begging her to keep it a secret because he couldn't trust anyone. Now she knew, of course, that Palpatine had been messing with his mind, but at the time, she'd thought he was just terrified by the prospect of the war. She'd been terrified too, and she'd wanted whatever stolen moments they could have. Now, in peace and health, rather than war and sickness, their moments didn't need to be stolen. On the other hand, of course, they were both public figures. Padme was one of the most influential senators in the Republic. Anakin was still the hero with no fear. Sometimes now, they liked stolen moments not because they were afraid, but because they were secure and happy. They didn't need a public display. They only needed each other and the people they chose to share their happiness with. So, when Padme decided she wanted a real proposal this time, all she had to do was ask Obi-Wan's permission. He managed to get it out between his laughing, buy a gold ring, and wait to lose it. Padme was very good at losing things to Anakin. Her trust in him was easy and always had been. His trust in her, which had bent the universe itself, was even more so. That evening, while he was brushing his teeth, Anakin opened a drawer in the fresher to grab the nail clippers and nearly choked. After a moment of spitting and coughing, he stuck his head around the doorframe, held up the hand with the ring on it, and said, "Yes." Padme passed him a tissue for the toothpaste on his chin and kissed him on the cheek. The next morning, she woke to find the apartment covered in flowers that spelled out in Nabooian flower language every conceivable kind of love. Anakin and Padme couldn't have bachelor parties as such, because they were already married, but as their wedding gift, Padme's parents promised to watch Luke and Leia for the night so they could have a child-free party with all their friends. Officially, it was two parties, but they happened in one bar at the same time, and those who were friends with both spouses flowed freely between them. Everything went well, except for Brea's attempt at matching Satine on the dance floor, which ended with a broken heel on her left shoe and a lot of laughter from their respective husbands. Not long after that, things began to wrap up, more distant friends bidding them goodbye until tomorrow's wedding, while those that were closest to Anakin and Padme drew in tight around them. They would all have to leave soon if they wanted any sleep before the wedding, but this was a perfectly pleasant ending to a wonderful evening. "I refuse to accept that you're old enough to drink." "Tough," Ahsoka said mockingly. She'd dedicated herself to trying Anakin's nerves this week by RSVPing with a date, but refusing to tell him who it was. "Is it Avad?" "No." "Amando?" "No." "Is it someone I know?" "How would I know that?" "Is it a senator?" "Actually, it's Representative Binks." Obi-Wan, reclaiming the seat beside Ahsoka after his return from the fresher, said, "Don't give your grandmaster a heart attack, Ahsoka. I'm far too old to be tortured by imagining that possibility." "You're what, 45? Anakin aged me prematurely. My hair is skipping gray and going straight to white." They might have continued bickering indefinitely if Sabe hadn't crossed the floor to Anakin's side of the party, Bale and Arete beside her. She stood on a chair, drained her flute, and tapped the side with a spoon. "Thank you for your attention." She waved her hands with some dramatic flourish. "Now, as you all know, Mr. and Senator Amidala collected some wedding traditions and advice from many of us before they started planning this little endeavor. What you probably don't know is that, in the course of that planning, they received a special request for the inclusion of one tradition, which I'm delighted to honor now." She pointed her spoon towards Anakin as if it was a lightsaber. "This is a kidnapping. Are you going to come with us quietly?" Now, Ahsoka said, in what seemed like a bad impression of Obi-Wan. "Must we? They've already done the finding your soulmate thing, more literally than most of us could dream. Surely we could settle this in a more civilized fashion. Obi-Wan, who must have clued in the impression, sighed dramatically. Where are you going to kidnap me to? The other side of the room? Padme's other handmaidens had emerged seemingly from the woodwork to stand beside Arete, creating a very amusing impression of Bail Organa surrounded by a small army of Nabooian women. You never gave us the opportunity to properly threaten you last time, Arete said. So we're making up for lost time now. Come quietly, please. Or what? Or maybe we'll finally have our revenge for all the sand and oil in Padme's clothes. For years. The sand. How do you even lose sand? A wave of nods went across the group. Anakin considered how much he and Padme had lost things to each other as children, and how much work cleaning Padme's most extravagant clothing was. I'll come quietly. Wisely said, Sabe commended, and, climbing down from her chair, pulled Anakin away. Padme woke with her alarm and grabbed and immediately downed the glass of water on the bedside table. She wasn't hungover, but drinking always dried her out, and it was a feeling she was eager to be rid of as soon as possible. Anakin hadn't come home last night, stupid traditions, and, like always when they were apart, Padme discovered that she'd lost things to him. In this case, one of the hairpins she'd been wearing last night. Anakin lost things too, of course, and she was expecting to find something of his before she even stepped into the walk-in closet, but she wasn't expecting to find Anakin himself perched on a footstool. He smiled at her, bright and earnest, and offered a little wave. Padme couldn't help but smile back, shaking her head even as she did so. They were supposed to just take you to your hotel after the kidnapping. Have you been here all night? No, Sabe did take me back to the hotel, but I think that tradition about not seeing the bride before the wedding doesn't apply when it's a second wedding. I wanted to sneak in and see you. I missed you. She made a grabby motion toward her clothes. You see me every day. He reached behind himself and handed Padme a pair of comfortable pants and a t-shirt. She'd be spending the morning with her mother and former handmaidens, getting dolled up, so there was no point in dressing fancy. It was nice of Anakin to remember that. I know, but, well, what Ahsoka said last night got me thinking, and I wanted to surprise you. I mean, you really did find me, in every sense of the word. Twice, if you count when we were kids, and chance and destiny dragged you halfway across the galaxy to me. But I thought it might be nice if, just this once, it was a choice, not destiny and the force that brought us together. Padme tied the drawstring on her pants, working as quickly as she could to free up her hands, and draw Anakin into a kiss. Destiny had brought them together many times. Sith meddling had done it a few more. Anakin was right that, on so many occasions, an outside observer could have seen them as going through the motions, doing exactly what destiny had prescribed. But Padme looked around her friends and saw how much loving someone, soulmate or not, was a choice. She saw how Bail and Brea had chosen to fight for Fox even when they already had a soulmate right there in front of them. She saw how Obi-Wan and Cody had come to love each other without ever really having complete faith in the soulmate process. She saw how Satine and Rex had chosen a love outside of it that was equally as meaningful as any other love. The act of choosing was a powerful force. Destiny could bring them together on Tatooine, Naboo, and Coruscant. It could make Padme's missing earring appear in Anakin's sock drawer. But it couldn't make Padme feel the way she did when she opened the closet door and he smiled at her. It couldn't give her the fluttering she still felt in her chest after all these years of marriage when she saw Anakin teaching Leia and Luke how to knead Tatooinean flatbread last week. And it couldn't make her stay when things were at their worst. It wasn't destiny that had wanted children with this man in the middle of a war, and it wasn't destiny that had kept them together in the aftermath of it when things had been so impossibly difficult. She pulled back from the kiss, tangling her fingers in his. It's a choice every single day, Annie. He leant down and kissed her back. The end.